Hello, I'm Marcus Lamb of the Daystar Television Network, headquartered in Dallas, Texas. I'm so excited to be here today at Planet Shakers Church in Melbourne, Australia. I want you to stay tuned for the message entitled, Friday's Here, But Sunday's Coming. Thank you very much. If you have your Bibles or your smartphones or your iPads, turn in the New Testament to the book of John, chapter 19. We will begin with verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Did you know that those words by Jesus were the fulfillment of Bible prophecy? Psalm 69:21 said that he would say, I thirst, and they gave me vinegar to drink. Now a vessel full of sour wine, and this is another wording for vinegar, was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it into his mouth. Now the hyssop plant that grows in the Middle East has very sharp, jagged edges. So when they put it to his mouth, no doubt it tore his lips, his mouth, and his tongue. The hyssop plant also had a terrible taste and a pungent smell. So they did that to our Lord and Savior. So when Jesus had received the sour wine or vinegar, he said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Now that's important to note. The devil did not kill him. Jesus willingly gave up his spirit for you and for me. Oh, I feel his presence here today. Therefore, because it was the preparation day, that the bodies should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath was a high day or a high holy day. The Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. You know why the Jews were asking Pilate to break the legs of Jesus and the two criminals? Because breaking their legs after crucifixion would hasten their death. And they could not be removed from the cross until they died. But here is another prophecy. Psalms 34:20. But not one bone of his body shall be broken. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who were crucified with Jesus. But when they came to Jesus, they saw him. He was already dead. They did not break his legs. So there's a second prophecy that was fulfilled. And get ready for the third one. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. In Zechariah 12:10, it says, and they will look upon me, the one they have pierced. So there are three prophecies there, and there are several others, but I don't have the time to enumerate them. You see, most historians believe that Jesus was crucified on a Friday and resurrected on a Sunday. So I'm preaching on the subject today. Friday is here, but Sunday is coming. Hallelujah. Friday is here. Jesus was praying. The disciples were sleeping. And Judas was betraying. But Sunday's coming. Friday is here. Pilate was struggling. The council was conspiring. And the crowd was vilifying. But Sunday's coming. Friday's here. The disciples are running like sheep without a shepherd. Mary is crying and Peter is denying. But Sunday's coming. Friday's here. The Roman soldiers beat my Savior. They robe him with scarlet and they crown him with thorns. But Sunday's coming. Friday's here. See Jesus carrying the cross to Calvary. His blood is dripping. His body is stumbling. His spirit is burdened. Oh, but Sunday's coming. Friday's here. The soldiers take the nails and they nail Jesus' hands and feet to the cross. They raise him up next to criminals. Oh, but Sunday's coming. Friday's here. See Jesus hanging on the cross, feeling forsaken by his Father, left alone and dying, and nobody can save him. Oh, but Sunday's coming. Friday's here. The earth begins to tremble. The sky grows dark. And my King gives up his spirit. Oh, but Sunday's coming. Friday's here. Jesus is buried. The stone is rolled in place. And the soldiers are standing guard. Yes, Friday's here. But Sunday's coming. I came all the way from Dallas, Texas to tell you that Satan could not kill him. Death could not destroy him, and the grave could not hold him. Why? Because Friday was here, but Sunday has come, and Sunday has come for you. I want to show you parallels between what Jesus went through during the crucifixion and what many of you are going through. Point number one, Friday's here bringing suffering. Maybe you're suffering, or someone close to you is suffering. Then I've got good news for you today. Jesus became a man so that he could relate to your suffering. You say, is it in the Bible? Oh, yes. Isaiah 53:3, he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. On the cross, Jesus experienced humiliation and rejection. Yes, he could have come off the cross, but he decided to suffer and die for you and me. Think about it. They beat him. They stripped him of his clothes until he became naked. They mocked him. They spit in his face. They did all of this in front of his mother and in front of his disciples. He did that for us. Hebrews 4:15, for we have not a high priest who can't be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. In other words, Jesus knows how you feel. He knows what your pain is like. He knows what your rejection is like. He knows what suffering is all about. One theologian suggested that on the cross, Jesus experienced every kind of suffering, every kind of difficulty that you and I will ever experience in our lifetime. The Roman whip that was used on Jesus was called the cat of nine tails. Let me describe it for you. It consisted of several strands of leather. Each strand was 3 feet long. That's bad enough. But at the end of the strands were pieces, there you see it on the screen, were pieces of lead and bone. Historians say that with the cat of nine tails, 40 stripes would kill any man. Jesus was beaten 39 times, so he almost died. There's no way I could adequately describe to you the suffering that he went through for you and me. So I got a little video. It's only 1 minute long. Let's watch that right now.
I am.
Sarkis.
How come Krabis, eh?
No. Kang.
On se nabi spodi betu.
Probaj stud.
Quale?
Nime sa kvarlu.
Ti bene essa. Gusta! Gusta!
Qui faccio.
E scritto in mente la magna.
Vedi! Uno!
Yes, that was Friday. But Sunday's coming. Medical scientists say there are 39 major sicknesses and disease. Jesus suffered 39 stripes for you and me. Isaiah 53 and 5 says, by his stripes we are healed. So when you pray to Jesus, he knows about your suffering and he can heal every sickness, every disease, everything that you're going through because of what he did on the cross. So point number one, Friday's here bringing suffering. Point number two, Friday's here bringing darkness. The Bible says that when Jesus hung on the cross, that from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, which is from 12 noon to 3 p.m., that darkness filled the sky. Was it an eclipse? Why would it happen during the middle of the day? It's very simple. Jesus, the scripture says, he who knew no sin became sin for us. He literally took our sin upon himself. And when he did, the holy God in heaven, who cannot look upon sin, had to turn his face from looking at Jesus. And that resulted in the darkness that filled the sky. When you suffer a long time, you can begin to lose hope. And it can result in darkness. That's really what depression is. Some of the symptoms are worry, anxiety, stress, and pain. And yes, it's in the darkness of night when most people are fearful. They're lonely. They try to get high on drugs or alcohol, or they're involved in unmarried sex. But oh, here's the good news. Friday may be here. Darkness may be here. But Sunday is about to come. Jesus declared in John 8 and 12, I am the light of the world. The best way to get rid of darkness is to turn on the light. How many know how fast the speed of light is? It's 186,000 miles per second. That's how fast your darkness will come when you turn on the light of the world, who is the lovely Lord Jesus Christ. So Friday brings suffering. Friday brings darkness. And Friday brings death. Because of Christ's crucifixion, Jesus experienced death for us, but he conquered death. As I said earlier, Satan did not kill him because Jesus willingly surrendered up his spirit. But when something dies, it can become cold and lifeless. What is dying in your life? Are your finances dying? Is your health dying? Are your relationships dying? Well, if they are, Jesus can walk out on the stage of your life today, and he can speak life and life more abundantly. In fact, he said in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Ecclesiastes 9:3, for where there is life, there is hope. And remember, Jesus conquered death for you and me. So Friday brought suffering. Friday brought darkness. Friday brought death. But here's the final point. But Sunday is coming with resurrection. Jesus said in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Somebody shout praise the Lord for that. By his death, burial, and resurrection, Jesus opened a gate for us in the graveyard. We still enter the graveyard, but the good news is we don't stay there. Hallelujah. We pass on through to the other side and we walk through another gate. It's called the pearly gate, and it leads us into eternal life with the splendors of heaven with our Lord. You see, a lot of religious leaders have claimed to be divine or have claimed that they are God. You could go today to Saudi Arabia and you could find the tomb of Muhammad. But if you look inside his tomb, his body is still there. You could travel to China and you could find the tomb of Confucius. But when you look in his tomb, his body is still there. You could travel to Myanmar and you could find the tomb of Buddha. But when you look in the tomb, the body of Buddha is still there. And yes, you can go to Israel and you can find the tomb of Jesus Christ. But when you look in that garden tomb, he's no longer there. His body is not there. Why? Because he's risen. He's risen indeed. Friday was here, but Sunday has come. Jesus is God. Jesus is the very incarnate Word of God. In John 1:1 and continuing, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. And there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might be saved. But he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. He came into the world, and the world was made by him. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of men, but of God. And the Word was made flesh. I said, and the Word was made flesh. I said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us and became the holiest of all. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. What am I saying? I'm saying he's divine. What am I saying? I'm saying he's God himself. And because of that, he rose from the dead, and his body is no longer in the tomb. Because he was resurrected, he can resurrect your situation. What do you need resurrecting? Do you need your money resurrected? Do you need your physical healing in your body, your health, to be resurrected? Whatever your biggest problem is, it could be dying, but Jesus can speak resurrection life into your situation. The grave was a symbol of death, but Jesus came out of the grave and he was resurrected. And Jesus is about to walk into Planet Shakers Church in Melbourne, Australia. And he's about to walk into your life and into your circumstance. And he's gonna speak life and life more abundantly. He did it with Lazarus. Jesus walked up to the grave, Lazarus. They said, oh, Lord, he's already smells bad. He's been dead for days. Rigor mortis has set in. But Jesus stood outside of that grave and said, Lazarus, come out. You know why he called him by name? Because Neil Smith, if he'd have just stood up there at the graveyard and just said, come out, every dead person in that graveyard would have come up out of the ground. So Jesus was specific, and Lazarus came out. And the good news for you today is he's going to say the same thing to you. I want somebody to say, I'm coming out. Come on, you can do better than that. I'm coming out. All right, we're coming to the end. After Jesus died on the cross, Satan and his demons were having a victory party. It was such a celebration that it lasted 3 whole days. But oh, on the third day, I said, on the third day, all of a sudden there came a loud knock on the gates of hell. The knock was so forceful that the gates began to shake and rattle and roll. And Satan said, who would dare disturb my victory celebration? Come on, Joshua Brown, come up here and stand right here. You're going to be Satan. I know Rachel doesn't agree with that, but he is dressed in black and he's got a key around his neck. Now listen to the rest of this. Now don't distract my, viewers, I'm thinking about Daystar and television, my congregation. So Satan said, who are you? And Jesus answered and said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I'm the Son of the living God, and I've come after the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Satan, show him the keys. See, he's got the keys. And Satan said, you can't have them because man has transgressed the law of God. Jesus turned and looked at Satan and said, Satan, evidently you haven't read the early morning edition of the Jerusalem newspaper, or you haven't gone online and checked your news feed, because I just died on the cross and I satisfied God's plan of righteousness. I paid the debt. I've taken care of it all. Now give me the keys. Woo! Listen to me. Jesus not only became your Savior, he became your champion. And the Bible says that Jesus' spirit ascended from hell back to the grave. Listen to what this says. I'm almost through. Scott, where'd you go, Scott? You didn't go in the rapture, did you? All the musicians went in the rapture. I need them to come back quickly. The king's business takes haste. So Satan reluctantly threw the keys over the gate. Matthew 28:2 says, behold, there was a great earthquake, For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and rolled the stone away, and Jesus stepped out of the grave, the mighty conqueror. Friday was here. Oh, but Sunday has come. Then finally, Revelation 1, 17 and 18, Jesus said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of hell and of death." Woo! Friday was here, but Sunday has come. And Sunday has come for you. Get on your feet and lift your hands like lightning rods and begin to bombard heaven with praise. Can you praise him right now? Can you praise him right now? He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's not just the sacrificial lamb. He's the mighty conquering king. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the master of every situation, including your situation. Now, I will be brief. I just want you to look at me for a second. I want to know, where do you stand in your relationship with God? Where do you stand in relationship with eternity? Every one of us will stand before God. God will look at us and he'll say, "Why should I let you into my heaven?" We can't respond and say, "Well, God, I was a good boy. I was a good girl. Lord, I went to Planet Shakers Conference. Lord, I got baptized 14 times in my life." None of those answers are going to be sufficient. Only when you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus, where you've asked him to come into your life and forgive you of your sins, and you've made him not only Savior of your soul, but Lord of your life. You see, none of us know when that day is going to come. Twice at Daystar, we have interviewed people. They've shared their testimony. And as soon as they finished the testimony, they fell over dead right there on a live broadcast. You can't tell me, Neil Smith, that they came to Daystar expecting to die. When you suddenly die, you can't go and take care of business. You can't go and settle your estate. You can't go and make things right with God. You're either ready or you're not. Today, if you're in this building and you say, "Preacher, I love God and I believe in God, but I know I'm not where I need to be with God, and I want to make sure I'm ready for eternity. I want to make sure that I'm right with God. I want to make sure that if this is my last day on this people planet, that I'm ready to stand before an all-knowing God." So today, if you need to pray, you want to make sure, you want to get right with God, you want to draw closer to God, then I want you to step out from where you're standing. I want you to walk down the aisle. I want you to come and stand in front of this platform. I want to pray with you personally. Would you come right now? In the name of Jesus. From the left to the right, to the front, to the back. God bless these that are coming. On Easter Sunday, there couldn't be a greater day. There couldn't be a finer hour. There couldn't be a momentous moment to get right with God than on the day that he arose from the grave for you. You may be dying on the inside, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally, but on this day, he can arise and bring life into your life once again. come. I need to pray. I need to talk to God. I need to make sure. Listen, it's no coincidence that you're here. You may think you came just to hear the Great Planet Shakers music. You may have come because mom and dad insisted or encouraged you. You may have come because a friend invited you. Oh, no. This was a divine setup. This was a divine appointment between you and Almighty God. I'm just going to take 15 more seconds. I want every spirit-filled believer, lift your right hand and plead the blood of Jesus. There's still about 7 or 8 people who have not come forward, but you need to. The devil doesn't want you to. The devil is trembling. Just like when Jesus asked for the keys, Satan was trembling. But God is saying, step out and say yes. If you're not sure, if you died today, that you're ready for eternity, come on, in Jesus' name. I'm going to count down from 10 to 0. When I get to 0, we're going to end this altar invitation. If you're not right with God, you need to come. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4. Come on. Yes. Come in Jesus' name. Preacher, I want to pray. I want to get right with God. I want to make sure that everything's right between me and Him. 3, 2. If you're going to come, come now. 1 and 0. Now listen to me. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, that doesn't mean to think of everything we've ever done wrong. I don't even think I could remember them all. And if I could, I'd be here forever. Listen, all the mistakes I've made. No, it just simply says, Lord, I acknowledge I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. And we are all sinners. If we confess our sins, then He, Jesus Christ, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And here's my favorite part. And He will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Somebody say all. So I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer after me. If you're watching by way of television, pray this prayer after me. Say it to God. Mean it from your heart. And if you would say it out loud, that would be really good. Say it after me. Everybody bow your head and close your eyes and let's pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I love you today. And I know that you love me. I believe that you died on the cross and you shed your blood for my sins. Jesus, I know I'm a sinner and I've made many mistakes, but I'm asking you to forgive me today. Come into my heart and be the Savior of my soul. And be the Lord of my life. Now, thank you, Jesus, for loving me. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. And thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you give these people a big hand clap? Welcome to the family of God. You know, there's tears in my eyes too. But it's not tears of sadness. It's tears of joy. I feel like there's some people here that you're so special to the Lord. That's why He brought you here today. And I'm so proud of you. Congratulations. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. And I promise I'm going to pray with you. See this lady right here with the big smile? I want you to go with her for about 3 or 4 minutes. She's going to give you a book. She's going to give you some instruction. Would you just go with her right now? Give them a God bless you as they follow this lady out to the prayer room. God bless every one of you. God bless you. Yes, every one of you. Would you follow? Just follow the crowd in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope today's message has been a blessing to you.